We are in week 3 of 4 on a sermon series called Family Matters, talking around different components of family life, marriage, singleness, looking at them from a biblical perspective, because all of us have some situation in life in our family that we are in, whether we're married or single or something else. And today, to get us into the topic of today, there was a young dad in a grocery store pushing a cart with a screaming, crying baby in it. And as he was moving, he was leaned over, patting the little guy and saying things like, "It's okay, David. Stay calm, David. It's going to be all right, David. No need to yell, David." And he's doing this, and as he's going through the cashier, another woman sees him trying to speak so calmly. And as they get out to the parking lot, she says, "I just got to commend you for how patient you are with trying to keep little David calm." And he said, "Lady, I'm David. I'm the one that's trying to stay calm in the midst of all this." Parenting, and especially those younger years, is one of the most intensive and draining things you can ever do. Like, some of the most stressful moments I've had in my life are not public speaking, are not moments where there's lots of emotional tension. The most stressful moments I've ever had in my life is trying to like put a child down and hope they stay asleep in the bed. That has been some of the, like, it's sort of, this picture kind of captures it, what it looks like and how it feels. It feels like you got this little piece of dynamite that is going to blow at any second for no reason at all. And that's kind of what it kind of feels like when you're putting them down to sleep. There's a great comic that's put out a lot for parents. It's called Fowl, F-O-W-L, like a bird. And it's this kind of has a parent's prayer that I feel like encapsulates a lot of parents' plea, is that, "God, grant me the serenity to accept my kids can be jerks, the courage not to scream at them constantly, and the wisdom to realize where they probably got it from." They got it from the other parent. No. But there's a really, it's really good that babies and kids are cute. It's really good that they are, because they're 100% useless. It's really good that they are cute. Giraffes, they are standing within a few hours. Zebras are running with the herd within an hour after being born. Seals, the mom will abandon the baby at day 12. So 12 days of Christmas, see you later, you're on your own, right? They will, they're probably not a good role model, because like 30% of baby harp seals die, so maybe not a good role model for us. But anyway, but compared to the animal kingdom, human babies don't do a lot for a long period of time, and they are a ton of work. Parenting in itself is very overwhelming. It's very daunting. There's so many challenges you face that you're like, "Oh, I'm not ready for this. I'm figuring that out as I go," and reading a million Google blogs to try and see if anyone else has been through it. But parenting is a very intensive and daunting task. It's a tough job, and as a parent, it's your job. You're the one. You're the front line of it if you have kids. Now, if you're here today and you don't have kids, and maybe you or you're someone who doesn't want kids, that's okay. This message still connects with you today, because as we look at the scriptures and we look at what God has said around parenting and around kids, one of the main ways that God reveals himself to his people is as a parent-like figure, as our Father. So one of the ways, even if you don't have kids or want kids, one of the ways you connect to God is him as your perfect heavenly Father. One of the themes throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, throughout the Bible, is God as our Father. There's the story of when Israelites are leaving Egypt. They're being freed from slavery, and Moses is leading them to the Promised Land, and it talks about how God led them. It describes it in Deuteronomy chapter 1, where it says this: "And you saw how the Lord your God cared for you all along the way as you traveled through the wilderness, just as a father cares for his child. Now he's brought you to this place." He was just as a father cares for you. There's this image of God as our parent. And the term father is only used about 15 to 20 times in the Old Testament. Not a lot, as describing in terms of describing God. But into the New Testament, where Jesus comes as God in the flesh to show us what God is like, the term Father used for God is used about 165 times plus, and 150 of those are from the lips of Jesus. He is the one showing us exactly what God is like, and he's describing God as his perfect Heavenly Father. In the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus is teaching his followers to pray, he gives them this instruction. He says to begin the prayers like this. He says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. He's describing God as this intimate parent-child relationship that is not something that is God isn't some absent deity far away that doesn't know you or care about you, but he's designed us to come to him as a child, to rely on him, to pray to him, to be intimate with him in that way. And we gain some grounding in terms of our own parenting, of what it looks like and some healthy ways around it when we look at how God acted as a father towards his people. There's two components mainly that I want to look at. But the first one is this. It's this parental love. This parental love that God the Father embodies for us. One of the most famous stories that Jesus ever told is in Luke chapter 15, where he's describing this wayward son. This son who goes off the rails, he disappears to a different land, squanders everything, realizes that he's destitute, and realizes that he should go back to his home, where his dad is, where his father is, and he's realizing, okay, I've messed up. I'm going to have to apologize big time. And he starts heading towards back home, and Jesus describes in this fictional story how the father responds. He says this in Luke 15. Says, so he, the son, returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. He was watching for him. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. You can tell that the father is longing to be embraced in relationship with his son, with his child again. And this text would have been a little bit scandalous too for those hearing it, because in the first century, Jewish men did not run in public. It was seen as undignified, right? But here in this situation, he sees his son and he cannot restrain himself. He moves towards his son, just as our Heavenly Father longs to move towards us and embraces him. Part of our mission statement is that we embrace Christ's love just because he is longing to embrace us as well. That is part of what this parental love can look like, that we can model as well with our own kids. God designed, wanted to show us that he can be our safe place, our refuge, and we get the chance to be that for our own kids. The Apostle Paul echoed this type of mindset, this type of teaching in his letter to the church in Rome. Where he said this, he said, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit, God's very presence, the Holy Spirit, when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. So because if you're a follower of Jesus, you have God's very presence, the Holy Spirit living within you. And because of that, you can now come boldly before God and call him Abba, Father. Abba meaning this intimate term for dad. It's not this far off, God is away, or he is angry at you, but that is a safe place, this love that is full and good and longing to connect with you and embrace you. So I would say this way, that God our Father models parenting for us. Throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament, you see this perfect Heavenly Father revealing himself and interacting with his people as his children. And when we see how he's doing that, it gives us a glimpse of how we can move in the direction of how we interact with our own kids. Now, this is the first component. Parental love is one thing we can learn to model from our Heavenly Father and how we can interact with him. The second part is this, and it's a little more, it's called parental just guidance. That God is someone who is constantly guiding his children, guiding his people. He is the authority in their life, the influence in their life. He is the one that is setting the standard for right and wrong, the grid work, if you will, for truth and error. And then likewise, as a parent of kids, you are the front line of that for your own children. You are the one who's guiding them and giving them consequences or discipline and those types of things. The Apostle Paul tried to raise this point with a young pastor named Timothy, a young guy, and tell him, like, there is beautiful wisdom in the scriptures and in following God that our Heavenly Father has put before you so that you can learn right and wrong. He talks about it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it says this. He says, talking to Timothy, he says, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. So he's been raised in the scriptures. He knows them. And it's good to realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. So our Heavenly Father has placed before us this beautiful thing, his word to us, and it helps us navigate you know, what is right, what is wrong, what is truth, what is error, and then we get to be that front line of influence in our own kids, in our, on the way we parent and the way we model for our own children. Now, I'm not going to get into the navigating of how exactly, specifically, you should, if you're in that phase of life, discipline your children. I'll leave that up to you. But what I will talk through is a little bit around different phases that have made a big impact on me, learning of different phases of a child's life and how a parent interacts within those phases. This comes from Pastor Andy Stanley and his wife Sandra, and they learned it from somewhere else. But talks about this first phase of life. Oh, first, a brilliant quote from my favorite preacher. He says, if you ever never have headaches through rebuking your children, you shall have plenty of heartaches when they grow up. I would maybe change the word rebuke to like challenge or discipline, but it's older, 19th century, so you can get away with it. But that parental guidance is there's some challenging of your children in the phases that they grow into. This first phase, talk about, is the discipline years, the 0 to 5-ish. We're not going to put an exact number on it. This is the stage where you are taking a small child and you are teaching them how to behave, how to interact, what is correct, what is polite, what is not, things like that. You are civilizing your children. To civilize means to bring something out of a primitive state. Our children are born primitive. When I was almost 2 years old, I was in a daycare, and a girl took a toy that I wanted to play with. So I promptly leaned over and took a good-sized chunk of flesh out of their cheek with my teeth. Showed her how primitive I was, right? Right. But being there, kids aren't born with values. They need to learn. They need to have discipline in this phase so that you can reveal to them what is right and what is wrong. You've never had to teach a 3-year-old how to hoard toys, have you? They just automatically take them on, say, this is mine. They drop that for a second. That's mine too. Right? That is what they automatically do. You have to learn, no, sharing is caring. You should share. Sharing's good. Share or else. Right? Like there's some discipline that goes on because you're taking somebody that's born, and there's sin, we're all born with sin in our lives, and it takes us to a place where we can start to interact in a healthier way. That's part of the parental guidance, the same as our Heavenly Father has done with each of us. Then we move a little bit into the training years, the 5 to 12-ish years. We're not nailing it down perfectly, but this is where you get to start putting in more of the why behind an explanation. You know, it's not just so much consequences and a little bit of conversation. You get to do more conversation, more why this is wrong or why this is bad or that kind of thing. You can go deeper into teachable moments because their brain is more developed and bigger, right? During these years, you can give explanations that are longer, hopefully. And then everyone's favorite phase, right? It's the teen years. That's everyone's favorite phase of parenting, right? I've heard this great line that before sin entered the world, there was no such thing as teenagers. So, sorry, Kenny. Yeah. But parenting through this phase happens a lot more through conversation, a little more about connecting than correcting, is right, because they are now pushing back. There's a lot more verbalizing, a lot more compromise happening. I remember my own teen years, and I worked with teenagers for many years, that it felt like parents are always walking this edge of a knife between discipline and grace, and looking at all the different hills of what they would choose to die on, and having to really use wisdom to navigate well what they will stand for and what they want to have an impact on their kids. These are definitely very trying years, and it's why I hired Pastor Luke to work with teenagers, not me. But lastly, out of this comes the friendship years of parenting adult children, of when they start to slowly, you know, move out of the home, move back, move out of the home again, move back again. But then eventually they spread their wings far enough that you just change the locks and they're gone. But this is where you start to begin enjoying life together as adults, right? Of a friendship that can blossom between someone you've raised and is now an adult and has their own life of their own. One of the goals that Jenna and I have as parents is that when our kids have the freedom to not spend any time with us, they use some of that freedom to spend time with us. That's one of our goals and one of our hopes and dreams, that they still choose to be around us at different points in their life. These are different things that we see our Father, perfect Heavenly Father, modeling for us. That he's got this just vast ocean of love towards us, and then he's also got this component of guidance where he is helping us navigate right and wrong and truth and error. That our God, our Father, models parenting for us. So I'd like to just leave you with two questions around whether whether you're a parent yourself, or if you're not, you can just direct these questions more towards you as an individual. But if you have a child, it's more this question of what do you want your child to become? And I'm not talking about a job like a firefighter or a counselor or a nurse or something like that. I'm talking about like what type of character do you want your child to have? What type of care? And you know, you have to see it through the lens of what maybe phase you're in, whether you're in the discipline years or in the friendship years or in the training years or coaching years. What do you want your child to become? What type of heart passion do you want them to have? What do you want their character to look like? You can imagine, you know, there's this beautiful psalm, proverb from the Old Testament, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge God." Like, that's a brilliant grid or framework of going, this is where I want my kid to become. This is the direction I want them to move towards. Acknowledging God in everything. And then, you know, it's just this next question of what can you do to help them take that next step in that direction, right? Like, we're not going to leap farther along, but just if you're wanting them to go one certain direction, what next step can it look like? If they're in their younger years, how can you bring your faith and spirituality in Jesus into the home more in a way that they understand it? Is it through music that's geared towards them? Is it through a Bible translation that's geared towards kids? Is it through beautiful things like Awana that takes place at First Baptist, or kids camps in the summer, or things like that? How do you bring your faith and spirituality there? If they're older, how do you do it in conversations that you feel like they'll understand and grasp and be passionate about as well? So whether your kids are young or they're old, or you don't have kids, or you have a longing for kids, one of the main ways that God interacts with us is as our parent, as our Heavenly Father. This place where He guides us, corrects us, shows us what's right, helps us to make wise decisions. God desires to connect with you and me as His child. And when we look at how He parents, we look at how He behaves as a Heavenly Father, we get hope and we get advice and we get practical wisdom in terms of how we as individuals navigate parenting our own kids. And that is a very beautiful thing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are good. That through the witness of Jesus, we get to learn how much of a Father You are. That You long to be this safe, loving place for us, that we come to You daily with our trust, the stuff, whether it's intention or we don't know how to navigate. And that You're also there to guide us, to reveal how to live, how to make decisions wisely, what relationships we are to form. I pray for an abundance of encouragement. Anyone here who's navigating parenthood, whether it's young or older kids, that they would just sense Your encouragement of how much You love them, that You care about them, You care about their interaction with their kids. And I pray for those who are longing for children. I pray for continued trust in You. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.